YouTube, the Youth Cartel, and our first blog review. I'm Charlie Condor from Orange, and you're listening to the Controlled Chaos Podcast. Chaos. Control.
Chaos. Control. So here we go, another episode of the Controlled Chaos Podcast. Thanks for making some time for us today because we have an action-packed episode. Thank you so much for Charlie willing to do the intro. We love Orange, and we're just so thankful for everything they're giving to the junior high ministry community. They're giving some really, really good stuff. You know, if you haven't had a chance yet, head over to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review. We're really close to 100. I know that may sound crazy, but we're really close to 100. If you have a moment, it would really be a big deal. It actually helps promote the show. It helps us become noticeable in a bunch of other podcasts. They kind of search iTunes, and they will take podcasts that seem to be doing well, and they will put them onto their platforms. It actually helps us out a lot. So if you have a second, just please go do that. Here's the thing. So excited for this episode. I was paying attention to some things that were being tweeted out by Orange, Ashley Bohan specifically. She is absolutely incredible at Orange. And one of the things that they put out is a new stat. So this is a little bit of the Generation Z tip of the week. A new stat that YouTube is actually like the number one search or number one, you know, website for 80% of Generation Z. Okay, so just think about that. 80% of the students that we work with, YouTube is their go-to. So here's the thing that it just really been compelling me lately. I know we talk a lot about communication strategy. I know we talk a lot about how we use Instagram, and man, Instagram TV just came out. Big deal. We should talk more about that later. But I want to say, folks on YouTube, you know, we talk about how we engage Instagram or Facebook and how we connect and how we communicate. And then you hear a stat like that, 80% of students, and it makes you think, how are we engaging on that platform? How are we making sure that our ministry is known, that we're connecting with students? I mean, if they're already there, and I'm not saying that what we do is going to become the YouTube phenomenon. That's not what I'm saying. I think to have that desire or that mindset is insane because, one, those YouTube star kind of moments are only once in a while moments, first of all. And number two, there's no point in trying to be that because the point of what we're doing is to tell students about Jesus, to get them into a group, make sure they're known by a leader that cares about them. So the goal should never be, oh man, we're going to become super well known and this is going to get out there to 20,000, 30,000, 100,000, a million students. Maybe one organization in America that's faith-based will have that kind of a reach. Most local churches will not have that kind of a reach, and that's totally okay. It's totally fine. Knowing that the goal isn't to have this huge reach, how can you use YouTube to engage the students in your group? Now, here's just a couple ideas. This is all practical. This is the thought because, once again, Generation Z tip of the week, 80% of Generation Z, that YouTube is their go-to search engine. So here's just a couple thoughts, okay? Thought number one, are we using YouTube to do any kind of weekly devotional? Like a weekly devotional that you set up your phone, you get in front of your computer. It doesn't have to be super long. It can be 3-4 minutes, but we put it up there and we put it out there to students. We email it to leaders. We let them know they can check it out and they can share it. Just an idea, not maybe even the best idea, but it's just an idea. Idea number two. Now, I want you to know that I'm a huge fan of Download Youth Ministry, big fan of Download Youth Ministry University, but sometimes it's really good for our leaders to hear from us. Again, super easy. Set up your phone, you know, dial it in, do a little training, a little piece that you can put up on YouTube, send to your leaders, you know, they can share. Easy thing. So maybe that's a little more leader-related, more than student-related, but still an idea. Thought number three. Come up with some funny videos. Now, here's the thing. The goal is not to become viral, like some viral video that gets, you know, millions of hits. That's not the goal. So if you take that off your plate and you say, okay, what is the goal? I want something my kids are going to laugh at. And they're going to laugh at it because their youth worker, you know, their leaders, people they know are in it. And maybe they only watch it once, but it's funny, and we're at least putting content out there in front of them. that's worth it to me. It doesn't have to take that long. It can be something goofy. Maybe you make it fun and put a day into it. But don't overthink it. Throw some fun stuff together. Put it up on YouTube. Let them check it out. All right, here's number three. Students love the question answer thing. You know, they love the authenticity of that. You go out to wherever the local place is where people are hanging out. Maybe it's the beach. Maybe, you know, it's kind of like a shopping center. Maybe it's just kind of a coffee shop area where there's different shops. And you go and you start asking people questions. You get your recorder there. You got your microphone or, you know, however that's going to work. And you start asking people questions. And you know, maybe some Bible questions, maybe relationship questions, maybe it's questions based off a series you're doing, super easy. You edit that video together, super easy, throw some music behind it, tons of fun, throw it up on YouTube, send it out, let people see it. And they're going to laugh at it, maybe get some ready for the series you're about to teach, but it's fun, it's different, it's easy. Here's another one, this is really, really easy. Do some leader highlights or student leader highlights. Get them in a room, interview them real quick, 3 minutes max, 4 minutes max. Ask them some quick questions, record it, throw it up on YouTube, send it out to leaders, send it out to students, let them see what's happening. Here's the maybe the easiest one of all. Ask students in your ministry what they want to see. Tell them if you were to put time into, making your YouTube channel awesome at your youth ministry, what would students want to see? What would they want and would make the time to look at? Maybe they will shock you. Maybe they'll say, man, we'd love to see more testimonies. We'd love to see more, Bible stuff. We'd love to see more, baptism stories, like as it comes time to baptism. We'd love to see more with the senior pastor. Like, could you imagine if they said that to you? Like, you would totally be blown away. Because the thing that I think would blow you away the most is that moment of, I can do that. Well, you want to hear from the senior pastor some more? Like, I can do that. Like, I'll go to him or her right now and say, hey, do you want to be in some videos for students? Like, it'll blow everyone's mind. Or they say, man, I want to do more devotionals, more Bible stuff. Oh my gosh, that's so easy. Like, I can do that. Like, you want that? You would watch that? Oh my gosh, we can make that happen. So here's the thing. YouTube is real and it's getting bigger and bigger. 80% of our Generation Z students use that as their primary search engine. We need to figure out how to engage that tool better in our ministries. Twitter's great. Instagram's great. 80% are on YouTube. We got to have a plan for YouTube. In the show notes, I'm going to put a whole list of YouTube channels that students have been digging. That is all courtesy of Ashley Bohins and Orange. We love them. And you're going to really want to check that out. So we have a really fun episode. This is what we're going to be doing. I took some time and got together with Marco and Adam McLean down at their place in San Diego. They're from the Youth Cartel. And if you don't know anything about the Youth Cartel, number one thing to know, they're awesome. Number two thing to know, they're the ones who are publishing the book with Kurt and I. I just saw the cover of it recently. It is all to the editors. It's going to be out. It's going to be great. But number three, they run something called the Middle School Ministry Conference. It's one of the best events for middle school youth workers. You want to be at this event. It's going to be absolutely incredible. It's a small setting, but with some of the best leaders, best thinkers, best middle school minds all in one place. And you don't want to miss being there. It's kind of right aligned with when the book's going to be released, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We actually have been talking with them and are going to be doing a live recording of the podcast at the conference. It's going to be great. There's going to be a bunch of people there. So we're going to bring them on one of the nights. We're going to have some Q&A. We're going to record it live, and we're going to let everyone else in Chaos Nation hear it afterwards. It's going to be absolutely incredible. So I spent some time with them, and I just asked them to talk briefly about conflict. Talk about conflict. I think conflict's something that we deal with. We deal with it with our coworkers. We deal with it in our ministries. And they, having started a company together, have some really incredible insights into how to deal with conflict. So let's check out Marco Stryker and Adam McLean talking about conflict.
I mean, conflict with people that you you're collaborating with and working alongside is just natural. It's normal. It's got to be part of the system. If it's not, and I would say in our coaching program, we would say maybe 1 out of 10 people say, oh, I love everyone I work with. I don't have any conflict. And to me, that's actually an indicator of some kind of a problem, a lack of self-awareness or something in them. And I think that the primary way through that, to how to thrive when there's still disagreement or conflict or strong differences of opinion, is a genuine curiosity about what the other person's perspective is and where they're coming from and what I might learn from it, combined with constantly reminding myself of, in our situation, of what Adam's unique contribution is. When I value him and his unique contribution that's different from what I can bring, then that really helps when we're in a disagreement, because I know that doing this without him would be way worse than doing it with him.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I hold that same value. I think really where our relationship works, it starts with mutual respect for one another. And I don't mean that in any way to sound like cliche, but I feel respected by Marco as a person. I feel like he describes things that he likes about me. And I have things about Marco that I genuinely like and respect. And that comes from a true place. And I think that's an honest thing so we can, even when we do have conflict, we start with that, where we're not starting. It's just like when you go through marital counseling or whatever, we're not starting by talking about, we're definitely getting a divorce if this doesn't work. And so that's just not something that we've talked about. Like, you know, if we don't agree on this thing, then I'm taking my ball and going home. I mean, that would be disrespectful to the relationship. And so that's not somewhere where we ever start. But we are definitely two different personalities. And the further we've gotten down the road here, we've both gotten more comfortable with one another's personality and learned how to deal with the tension of the differences in that personality, for sure.
Well, certainly one of the first things that you want to do is find some safe people. If you've got really real genuine conflict that is threatening to have significant implications, right? Find some safe people that you can be honest with about it, who are not connected to that system or organization. So, I mean, for Adam and I, obviously that's our spouses, but it's other people. And when there have been difficult decisions, or particularly at a couple times when we've had some very critical conflict, I've sought input from some people that I trust who know me, and they are willing to speak truth to me. So that's been an important part. Spending time together, I mean, is another one. I mean, Adam and I genuinely do enjoy each other, even though we have different personalities, and we have fun together. So when we go to meals and we just talk about everything from the news to making, you know, dumb jokes and everything else, we do have fun together. And that's always a reminder that there's value in this, even though there's conflict. Those would be two things I would think of.
Yeah, I mean, I remember as a young youth worker entering into conflict with my bosses and things like that. And I remember having the wise counsel of actually a guy I played golf with. He was a retired teacher. And he would just remind me, go, what is this worth to you? Like, is this thing that you're upset about, are you talking about quitting? Are you talking about, or is this something you just want to see happen? And I think sometimes understanding the value of the conflict helps you see what, you know, the response to that conflict should be. So you're not going nuclear on something that's just like an order of worship thing talking about Sunday service, and you're, you know, willing to quit over when we're doing the offering. I mean, that would be somewhat silly unless that's your true passion. But there's, you know, but there are times where, you know, Marco and I have had those conversations with, you know, that is a red line and I'm not going to cross that. And we have to respect each other on those lines. Fortunately for both of us, there's not a whole lot of those things that we would go, this is a place I'm unwilling to go with you. But, you know, I think that's something when you're in a church, you need to decide those things. And, you know, those could be different for everybody.
And I brought up that curiosity perspective before. It's just so critical, I think, that if I can ask myself from a perspective of curiosity, what is this person's positive intention? In other words, what are they hoping to get from this? Hopefully it's not just that they're trying to destroy me, or they're trying to demean me, right? There's something that they're hoping to get out of this from their position or their what they're arguing for. That, if I can be curious about that, that allows me to depersonalize it and make the issue less about the conflict and more about how can we move toward a positive resolve, which might be a compromise, or it might be that we find a third way that's not about compromise, but about, again, kind of protecting the tension and deciding that that's a helpful thing.
Conflict is everywhere. We deal with it with the people we work with. We will experience it probably many times throughout our career. So I hope that insight from Marco and Adam was useful for you. So here's what we're going to do next, okay? Action-packed show. We have a whole lot of stuff. I read a blog, and I don't know who out there still reads blogs. I actually think a lot of people do. And I was enjoying one, a really, really good one, by a good friend of mine named Kevin. He is a youth worker out in Texas. He's great. And he wrote an incredible one about transition. Now, I know we've been talking about a lot of transition, staff transition. I actually just finished my time at the church I was working at, a church in Southern California. And by the time you listen to this episode, I would have had my third day at my brand new church that I'm going to be working at in Riverside, California. So I read this. It was about transition. You know, students are transitioning too. As we know, a lot of our students right now are going from one grade to the next grade. It's a transition for everybody, parents, leaders. And I thought it would be so great to have some time with him. It's the first time we've ever done this, a blog review. I read a great blog, bringing on the author, letting them talk about it. And we're going to put a link to the blog in the show notes so you can read the whole thing. But this is going to be a regular thing we do. It's so simple. And the authors, they love talking about the stuff that they wrote. They're passionate about it. So here we are. Check this out with my friend Kevin and me talking about his incredible blog about transition. Hey everyone, we're here with Kevin Liebig. He is the student ministries pastor at Christ Chapel in Fort Worth, Texas. And he wrote an incredible article called Tackling Tough Transitions. Every church is in transitions. And I thought it'd be great to spend a couple minutes with him talking about the article he wrote. So, Kevin, what's up?
What's up, dude?
Dude, I'm just enjoying California. How's everything in Texas?
Texas is hot.
I bet it is.
But yeah, I'm enjoying Texas too. I love the city. So it's great.
That's great. So what was your motivation behind writing this article?
So I was actually in our senior graduation service in our high school ministry. And I was looking at all of our, listening to all of our seniors give testimony to what God was doing in their life. And these are a lot of students that I had when I was the middle school pastor. And not one of them mentioned our middle school ministry, believe it or not. And I kept going, wow, this hurts a little bit. And it got to me thinking about how we spend a lot of time preparing students for transitions, but we don't spend a lot of time as youth pastors preparing for the transition ourselves.
I love that, and I agree with it, because every year students leave us.
Yes.
Every single year. They are the ones that leave us, and we're excited about it, and we want to move into what's next.
Yep.
But that's a tough thing. I think that is an incredible motivation for the article.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and like just the idea of like, what does it take to re-rack and to restart over with a brand new group of students that you, after you poured into students for 2 or 3 years, it's just hard to do. So that's what was my motivation.
It's so funny. I heard a leader one time talk about how in junior high, you know, we get 2 or 3 years. I know some churches do fifth grade in like their middle schools. They get 4 years. They're the lucky ones. But we get 2 or 3 years to accomplish our goals. High school gets 4 years. And then the adults get until death to accomplish their goals. It's completely insane. So I love that motivation. There were a couple things that jumped out to me. We're going to put the link to this article in the show notes so people can read it in its entirety. But there's three things that jumped out to me that I'd love to get a little bit more of your insights into. The first one was, you wrote, when I'm feeling forgotten, overlooked, I have to remind myself of one truth. Tell us some more.
Yeah, you know, we always get in ministry and we know the reality. This is not about us. But a lot of times when we put our heart and soul into ministering to students, like we start to get invested and wrapped up into the idea of like, it's me. I get to be the one that crossed the goal line with that student. And I have to remind myself that it's not about me. You know, it's not just about me and the feelings that I get. It's really about what I'm contributing to the kingdom and how am I letting other people invest in these students as well. So when I feel off forgotten, that's like, that's what I signed up for, especially in middle school ministry. You're signing up for that foundational piece.
Yeah, I love that. You know, another one that jumped out to me is when we focus on progress, we're really focusing on results. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, you know, we like to measure. I'm in a large church. We like to measure results and numbers and all that kind of stuff. And often we get so wrapped up into the actual results that we forget that it's about enjoying the ride. Really, mm-hmm. Like ministry is about the process. God's in control of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no control over whether or not a student responds. And so we have to focus on being faithful to what we're called to do, and to not worry so much about what's going to be the results, that God's got that. And so stop focusing on whether or not we're going to get to be the one who, lands the plane, so to speak, but God's going to be the one who gets the glory. And that leads into the next thing for me is, like, we can be excited when somebody else gets to be the person that lands a plane with that student, whether that's in high school or college ministry. That's huge for me, and we need to celebrate that.
I love that. You know, it's so interesting because not only do I completely agree with you, but I'm transitioning from the church that I'm at now. I've been here 6 years, and yep. It's only in the last couple weeks of, you know, when I announced that I'm leaving, that students are coming up and they're sharing these stories, and they're telling me how much, you know, I meant to them. And it's not about, you know, that, but yeah. It's about that the kids who are coming up are the kids that I thought, are you even paying attention? Like, they're the least likely people that I thought would come up and say, man, you really made an impact. I'm really going to miss you. And I'm like, man, I when I was looking out in the crowd, I didn't even know if you had a pulse. So that's such an interesting point, because I think sometimes we carry so much of the pressure on us to see, like, an immediate result, and mm-hmm. we're not focusing on the progress we're making for the kingdom, and that we're not going to be the ones to do the whole journey. We're only doing a season of it. Here is the last one that really caught my eye. Actively celebrate others' wins. Tell me some about that.
Yeah, I think that just is that's how I restore the joy in my heart, is I got to celebrate when other people win and be happy for them. I mean, genuinely happy for them instead of jealous for them. And that's a huge thing for me in ministry, especially in our team.
Yeah.
We got to celebrate other people's wins.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. Can you just give me a quick example of a win that you would celebrate?
I think a big one is just when your high school, if you're in middle school ministry, your high school ministry gets to see a student that you poured into trust Christ, or yeah. go to camp and experience leadership in that student, to be like, to not go, oh, well, I take credit for that, but actually just to be like, wow, that's awesome. I'm really glad. And to celebrate that and to tell that story as if the high school pastor was the one who did all the work.
I love that. And you're totally right. I think that there's a lot of ego involved sometimes
yeah.
in the relationship between junior high and high school. And that's something that, I think this article helps that piece of the conversation. Kevin, thanks so much for spending some time with us. If people want to read more of what you write or what you're doing, is there a place that we could send them?
I blog some on the Middle Years blog, which is, you're there, and some other different places on our church website. But follow me on Instagram and social media. I'm all on that, and I'm posting a lot on those kind of stuff.
Great. Man, this was so good.
Yeah, no problem. That's great.
I'll see you later, dude.
Later.
So there you go, our first blog review ever. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you learned something. And again, the link's in the show notes so you can read the whole thing. So this past week, I hung out with Kurt Johnston again, and we finally, you might have seen this on Instagram, finally sat down and were able to record some brand new Leadership 101s. So without wasting any more time, because here's the thing, this was an action-packed episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Head to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, share this with some friends. This might be a fun one to share with leaders, because it is just full of just really good tips and tricks and thoughts. And really think about the YouTube thing. I really think that if we figure that out, we're going to be really nailing some stuff with this generation. So without anything further, let's check out Leadership 101 with Kurt Johnston. My name's Justin Herman, and this is the Controlled Chaos Podcast.
I overheard this a little while ago. Not even sure who gets the credit, but I really liked it, so I thought I'd share it with you. If you can't explain it to a 10-year-old, you probably don't understand it very well yourself. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about all the pieces of your junior high ministry, all the stuff you do. If you couldn't explain the reasoning behind it, your purpose statement, your strategy, how you train volunteers, if you couldn't explain it clearly to a 10-year-old, you probably have things overcomplicated. Another way to think about this would be the idea of, could you explain your ministry, all the stuff about your ministry, could you explain it over coffee on a napkin? The ability to make something super simple is of vital importance as you lead your ministry and try to get other people on board. If you couldn't explain it to a 10-year-old, you probably don't understand it very well yourself.
This episode was recorded and produced by Truth Work Media. If you're interested in having a podcast, look us up at truthworkmedia.com. Truth Work Media. Everyone has a story. Yours needs a podcast.